Proverbs, and also it's very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, where James covers a lot that every believer will struggle with. He looks at pride, prejudice, greed, walking with the world, apathy, and the power of prayer. So, what we've done is look at the five chapters and sort of split them into two. So, speak on half a page or half a chapter. And today, I'm going to be looking at. I mean, if we read it first. So if you turn your Bibles to the first chapter of James, I'm going to read it from the NIV, because most of you will have the NIV. But most of my message will be taken from the New Living Translation. So James is here speaking to the Jewish believers that have been scattered abroad amongst the nations. So James chapter 1, and I'm reading through to the end of 18. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Wow. What a passage. And there is so much that we could take from that passage. There is so much that I could speak on. And at first I was considering looking at trials and testing. But we've all been there this past year. As we heard last Sunday on our testimony day, so many of us have been through trials and tests. But the one thing that shone out of it was that we, as we went through them, were not on our own. God never left us. God never forsook us. Is it? He didn't forsake us. He was with us as we went through those trials and tests. So I chose not to look at that part of chapter 1. What I do want to look at, and it's probably the hardest thing for a Christian person to go through, and that's temptation. So I'm going to be looking at verse 12 through to 21. And I hope I don't touch on Steve's message, because Steve will be speaking on 21 onwards. So, where do you begin? Temptation. As we go through life, and not just the Christian life, life in general, one thing we can guarantee is that we will be tempted. And we will go through times, each and every one of us, when we feel that we will have the weight of the world on our shoulders. When we feel, Lord, why is this happening? When we feel, sack it, it's easier to go back. When we feel like we want to give in. And that's right. It's perfectly right to feel those emotions, those feelings. Because each and every one of us will forget four important things. One of them is that we do have burdens to bear. The Bible clearly states that we will go through testing. We will go through trials. We all have a cross to bear. But what we forget is that Jesus has already bore the brunt. He carried the cross right to Calvary. He's already bore the brunt, so that we don't have to. We don't have to do it all again. Secondly, it's not us doing God's work. If we think that we are, then that's ego. We cannot do God's work. We must remember that God is doing His work through us. Thirdly, no matter how much we feel we are or should be in control of our emotions, our feelings, our behaviour, we are human. Therefore, we are subject to temptation. And fourthly, the most important, we must never say that God is tempting us. Because God does not tempt. God cannot do evil. God is our strength. Now, back in the 70s, there was an American comedian called Flip Wilson. I don't know if any of you remember him. He used to have like a sitcom, a bit like I Love Lucy. And one of his famous sayings was, "The devil's making me do it! The devil's made me do it!" Do you believe that? Do we believe that? That the devil makes us do what we do wrong? Ask yourself the question. Does the devil make me do it? Now, the devil will certainly fire his darts at us. He will do his utmost to tempt us to doing wrong. But can the devil make us do something that we refuse to do? And that's my question today. Does the devil make us do wrong? And I just want to, as I said before, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, which puts it a little bit easier. And it says, God blesses those who patiently, and this is verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Notice that James says, when tempted. He doesn't say, if you are tempted. He says, when tempted. James affirms that we will be tempted. And not only that, but we will be tempted every single day. What we choose to do with that temptation is up to us. He goes on to say, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. James, not you, places the blame right where it ought to be, with us. And I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It's our fault. It's our responsibility. We fall short. It's our desire that leads us to sin. The devil will do whatever he can, and he'll use everything that we reveal we slip with. He will use whatever it takes to draw you away from the love of God. It's his job. He's not a nice person. And he will use every weakness you give him, you show him. And he's good at it. He's had centuries to better his ways. Let's go back to the beginning. to Adam and Eve in the garden. And God says to Adam and Eve, you may eat from any of the trees in the garden. And you might, I imagine there must have been hundreds of different trees. But you mustn't eat from the tree that's in the centre. Do not eat from that tree or you will die. I've thought, well, Lord, why did you put the tree there? Would it not have been better to leave that tree out of the garden? And I'm sure it's a question that we've all asked. But God is God. And he put that tree there and he says, do not eat from it. But we know the story. Eve picks from the tree, gives a bit to Adam who was weak, and they eat from the tree. Now, which was worse? The fact that they ate from the tree, or the fact that they blamed one another? Eve said, well, or Adam said first, it was Eve, it was her fault. She gave me the fruit. What did Eve say? It was the devil made me do it. In so many words. We might say that Eve's temptation was completely different from ours. Because we've never been tempted to eat forbidden fruit. But you'd be wrong. The root of Eve's temptation was not about the fruit, and it wasn't about the devil. The devil put the temptation to Eve that God was holding back from them. If you eat the fruit, you won't die. God's just saying that so you don't eat it. If you eat the fruit, you will become like God. You will have the knowledge of God. That's why Eve ate the fruit. And Adam, being Adam, ate it with her. We not only have faced exactly the same temptation, we face it every day. We will face it tomorrow. But with the Spirit of Christ in us, we don't have to sin. He who is in us is greater than he who is in with the world. The writer of Proverbs explains that man is his own worst enemy. Chapter 19, verse 3 tells us, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness. And then are angry at God. Why did you make me do it, Lord? The Lord didn't make him do it. The Lord doesn't make us do what we do. We choose to do what we do. And guess what? We justify why we do it. We justify spending too much time at work because people don't understand the demands on my life. How many times have we said it? We justify bouts of anger, but people don't understand how aggravating that person is. We all say it. We justify gossiping because we feel that people ought to know about this. We justify greed because you don't know how hard I work. I deserve this. The fact is that no matter how highly we like to think of ourselves, or how great we like to imagine our crosses to be, our situation isn't that different from anybody else. We are all tempted by the same sins. And James explains again that temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away, because he wants to encourage us. What you are going through, John, others have been through before. What you are going through, James, others have been before. There is nothing different or unique about the temptations that any of you are going through. Nothing. I remember many years ago when I first became a Christian, I thought I was an oddity. I still do sometimes. But I remember going up to a few older guys, and embarrassingly, you know, say to them, "I don't know if I'm a Christian because I'm still struggling with this." And I was amazed at the reply. "Well, so are we." And I thought, "You can't be, you're a lot older than me." It doesn't matter whether you have been a Christian for 5 years, 5 minutes, 50 years. Temptation does not go away. You will always be tempted. Even when you're 99, you will still be tempted. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, one that we should all know, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow you, or he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure." Or in the NIV, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out." So under no circumstances must we ever say, "I must give in to the sin." Because that don't wash. When you stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, you cannot get away by saying, "Well, it was unique to me, Lord. Nobody else has ever been through this. And you didn't provide a way out for me." You won't accept that. You do not have to give in to the sin. There is a way out. God promises to limit the temptation we face. He will allow us to go through it. He won't take it away. But he will provide a way out if it gets too much for you to bear. You must come through it. You must go through the trials. You must go through the temptations. It's the only way you will grow. But he won't burden you and break your back. He will provide an escape route. And the encouragement is this: Jesus Christ was not immune to temptation. Twice in the Bible it tells us of temptations that Jesus had to go through. We know that the first time was when he was in the wilderness as he was preparing himself for the 3 years ahead that he had to look forward to, and the tempter came. Turn these stones to bread, and a hungry world will follow you. Throw yourself down from the temple. You won't hurt yourself. Your angels will save you, and the people will proclaim you Messiah. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you every nation, every empire. Jesus faced them and said, no. Away from me, Satan. I think we take that and we think nothing of it. You know, imagine somebody coming up to us and saying, hey, if you do this for me, I'll give you a 4x4. Imagine someone coming up to you and giving you a Range Rover, brand new Range Rover, but in order to get it, you just do this. I mean, some of us would give in. Jesus was tempted with everything. Bow down to me. Worship me, and I will give you everything. And Jesus replied, get thee behind me. Get away from me, devil. I will never bow down to you. The tempter went, but the temptations didn't. And then, I imagine the temptations came back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus prayed 3 times, Father, is there another way? Take this cup from me. Don't have me drink from it. Maybe Jesus was thinking about what the devil had promised him. Who knows? But 3 times he had to pray that prayer. Father, take this cup from me. But in the end, not my will be done, but yours, Lord. I will do what I have to do. What Adam and Eve avoided that day in Eden, Jesus accepted. He took the responsibility for that fatal bite of the apple. And every bite that you or I have taken since. And that's why we celebrate the bread and the wine. We remember the price that Jesus paid for my forgiveness, for your forgiveness. You see, the tempter couldn't make Jesus do it. The tempter didn't make Adam and Eve do it. All he did was put the temptation in front of them. That's all he can do to you. He can put the temptation in front of you. He can package it up. He can put a beautiful ribbon around it. But you don't have to open the box. You don't have to give in. He who is in you is greater than he who is out there in the world. We need to remember this. We need to grasp hold of that. And I tell you, I say it all the time. But it's a wonderful privilege to be able to stand here and to preach from the front. It truly is. And the reason for it is, as I'm looking at this, as I'm looking at the passages, I cannot stand here and face you without practicing what I'm going to preach on. And it's testing. Believe you me, I have been tested. I have been tempted. And there's times I thought, oh, well, it won't really matter. It won't really matter. Yes, it does. It does matter. We must give in. We mustn't give in. And we don't have to give in. Why? Because we have a strength that we can call upon. How do we combat temptation? It's not easy. But it's summed up in verse 21. So I'll read it first from the NIV. And it's two parts. And it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now that's easier said than done. To illustrate this, let's think back to Joseph, the Joseph of the coat of many colours, who had been raised in the house of Potiphar to quite a high position. Potiphar trusted him, respected him, and gave him control over practically his household. But there was temptation in the form of Potiphar's wife, who fancied Joseph and started one day when Potiphar was away from home to come on to Joseph. And Joseph could have said, well, Potiphar trusts me with everything. What about his wife? I could get away with it. But he chose not to. When she came on to him, he slipped out of his cloak and did a runner. How many others would have done that? And that is certainly good advice. When temptation is facing you, is right there in front of you, do a Joseph. About turn and run. Another thing, there are so many temptations in your house. So many. Me, I have always said, and people have shot me down in flames, I have always said, computers, the internet is the work of the enemy. And I firmly believe that. That's a little bit like money. You know, we say that money is the root of all evil. Money is a good thing. We cannot do without it. But when it starts to become an idol, that's when it becomes wrong. When we start looking at money more than we look at Jesus, something's not right. Internet porn is the biggest, fastest growing disease in the world today. If you struggle with that, do something about it. Take the computer and put it in a room where others will always be. I was absolutely gobsmacked when I thought that my 12-year-old grandson was able to access that filth on his iPhone. Today we have tablets, we have iPads, we have iPhones, where we can get in touch with this stuff so readily. And the second biggest growing thing, the second biggest growing disease, is internet gambling. I remember a few years ago when you had to watch television after 10 o'clock or something to get the adverts for internet gambling. Now you can get it while you're watching Columbo at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a disease that is growing so fast. You don't even have to get out of your armchair now to go to the bookies. That's frightening. But we let it go. We let it slide. We do nothing about it. We need to start praying against this for the sake of our children. Temptations are there. If you struggle with drink, don't have it in your house. If you struggle with cigarettes, you're trying to give up, don't go into places where you know people are going to be smoking. Simple things, but not easy to do. We all know this. We've all heard it so many times. But then comes part two of verse 21. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. We must call on God. We cannot do it in our own strength. Each one of us will have something in life that they will struggle with. And for years you've probably been struggling and fighting against it. We need to hand it over to God. And a way to do it, and it sounds trivial, find a place, a room, whether it be a bedroom, your car, even in the toilet if that's the only place you can get some solitary, quiet space. And you know what you need to do? Be honest with God. Be honest with Him. I've been amazed how I've heard from people who say, I can't take that to God. I can't ask God for that. Not again. Why? Why can't you? He already knows. He already knows. Take it to Him. It's a little bit like, I mean, most of you have been a parents. How many times have you said to your spouse, something's up with so and so? So, Johnny's struggling with something there, but he won't come and tell me. Oh, your daughter. You know as a parent that your daughter is struggling with something, or she's got something on her mind. But you don't want to intrude. But you know there's something there. And then, eventually, they come to you. Well, Dad, you know, I need to talk to you about something. I know you did. But I was waiting for you to come. Let's sit down and sort it out. That's what it's like with God. He already knows what you're struggling with, but He wants to hear from you that you're struggling with it. Take it to Him. tell him how you feel. If you're angry with him, tell him.
You God.
He can take it. He has a big back. Nothing you can say can upset him. If you want to cry, cry. If you're angry with him, tell him. If you don't trust him, tell him. Lord, I want to believe that you have this in hand, but I'm struggling believing that. Tell him. Lay it all out. And then, when you've laid it all out, ask him to help. That's what he's waiting for. Right, okay, we've got it out now. Let's start to work it out. Think about some of the temptations that we face daily. James has a response. When you're tempted to rely on your own strength, James says, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Tempted to get angry with God, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong. Tempted to become lazy, do not waver. When the sin is there, do not stand and look at it. Walk away from it. Tempted to despair and give up. We all know that one. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Tempted to blame others. The devil made me do it. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. And this is the bigger. Tempted to keep beating ourselves up for past mistakes. Everybody knows that one. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, are his prized possessions. I love that. That should be encouragement enough. No matter what you do, no matter what I do, I am his prized possession. He loves me. Sinner though I am, he loves me. I know that my wife loves me. I know she does. She can't help it. I love my wife. I can't help it. And yet, it's about that big compared to the love that my God has for me and for her. No matter what the world may say about me, I have grasped hold of the fact that my God loves me anyway. And as soon as we realize that and grasp hold of that, we will become different people. I'm not saying that the temptation will go away. It certainly will not, but it will allow you to work through it in a better and more controlled way. Because you know that your Father in heaven is not going to beat you with a brick, or a stick, or a brush, or a piece of 3x2. He's going to put his arms around you and say, okay, so you slipped. Come to me, let's put it right. Repent of it,
and let's move on.
And in closing, another way that we can combat temptation, and it's not as easy to do, but it is there, is find a friend. Find somebody that you can talk to. Somebody that you feel you can trust. Men, I think we find it more difficult to do this than women. I can't go and tell him about that. You'll never get prayer for it otherwise. Chances are, if you try to go through the battles alone, chances are you will fail alone. We need to start being accountable to one another. As I said, just because you've been a Christian for X number of years doesn't make it any easier for you. Just because we're elders or preachers doesn't make it easier for us. We're no closer to God than anybody else. If anything, we probably get more attacked. We need to find somebody that we can come and draw alongside and say, look, I'm struggling with this. Will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? The power of prayer is amazing. Think about the promises of God. If you are struggling with something specifically, go to the scriptures. Find out what the scriptures say regarding that struggle. Read the promises. Get the word of God within yourself. John said last Sunday on the testimony day, whilst he was in hospital, he'd lost the will to read. Couldn't take anything in. But what did he have? He had the word of God within him that he'd had put into him over the years. And he called upon that word. And that strengthened him. You don't have to go through it alone. You don't have to sin. Call upon the strength of God. He is waiting to hear from you. So, in closing again, really mean it this time. As we go into this new year, as we go into this new week, some of you have already gone back to work, others will start next week. I promise you this, you will be tempted. When you are tempted, remember what George said on Sunday, I don't have to sin. And you don't. Turn your face away from the sin. Walk out of the room. Don't gossip. You know when it's going to start. As you start to hear the words coming from one mouth or another, walk out of the room. Go to the toilet. If you're struggling with porn, walk past the shop. Walk past the computer. Same with drink, smoking, whatever it is. There is a way out. The devil, Mr. Tempter, will do his darndest to get you. But remember this, Job was tempted, was tried, was tested beyond anything that we'll ever go through, hopefully. But he did not call his God. Did not blame God. And God gave the devil permission to do his worst. And look how Job came out. Stronger than he was before it started.
Let's pray.
Father God, thank you that you are the best, you are the greatest, you are the biggest. There is no one outside of you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, our champion. Jesus, the forerunner. Jesus, the one who was fully man and was tempted in every way that we are, and yet was able to say, "No, Satan, away from me." And we have that power within us. Jesus paid the price to grant us that power. So Holy Spirit, I pray that as we go into this new year, that we will find that strength when we need it. That we will call upon you to help us out of situations that we'd rather not be in. Help us to turn our faces away from temptation and say no. No, thank you, I'm with Jesus. And you are a good God who wants to give us all that we need. Thank you for that, my Lord. May our lives glorify you. We ask in Jesus' name.